translation, and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Please also explain how merge in the body of the Lord living beings are created and how the infidels appear in the world. Also please explain how the unconditioned living entities exist. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The progressive devotee of the Lord must inquire from the bona fide spiritual master how the living entities merged in the body of the Lord again come back at the time of creation. There are two kinds of living entities. There are the ever liberated and conditioned living beings as well as the ever conditioned living beings. Of the ever conditioned living beings, there are two divisions. They are the faithful and infidels. Of the faithful, there are again two divisions, namely the devotees and the mental speculators. The mental speculators desire to merge into the existence of the Lord or to become one with the Lord, while the devotees of the Lord desire to keep separate identities and constantly engage in the service of the Lord. The devotees who are not fully purified, as well as the empirical philosophers, become conditioned again during the next creation for further purification. Such conditioned souls become liberated by further progress of devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj predicts it, asked all these questions from the bona fide spiritual master in order to become fully equipped in the science of God. Oh my God, okay. Narayana namaskritaya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayat mudirayat nasta prayasu bhajesu nityam bhagavati sevayam bhagavati uttama sloke bhakti bhavati nastaki. So we can see in the purport, Prabhupada mentions about Maharaj Pariksit inquiring from Sukadeva Goswami, the spiritual master, to about the infidels, about the ever conditioned and liberated living entities. So the same process applies in the material world also. It's like even to learn anything in the material world, you have to go to a teacher. Prabhupada gives an example. He says, if someone wants to be a dancer, unless he's trained, he cannot go to the manager and say, I want to dance on the stage. They will not allow him. He has to go through a procedure to learn how to dance. And even to be a doctor, one has to get 3 qualified doctors to certify he's a doctor. So, even on the mature platform, you have to go through the procedure of being taught, being go through the proper channels to learn to do something properly. So, same thing applies in spiritual life, that one has to be learned from a self-realized soul. Although in the material world, everything is based on karma. But in spiritual life, everything is based on Krishna's mercy and the mercy of devotees. It's a whole different approach to seeing things. Because we are conditioned generally, we tend it's easy to judge someone on the material platform. You think this person has got good managerial abilities or he's got some good talents, so he must be very advanced. But on the spiritual path, one cannot see like that because on the spiritual path, advancement is known by how much he's got a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. And Now, Prabhupada gives an example. He says, in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada gives an example. He says, in order to become a judge, you have to work very hard. It's not like anyone can just become a judge. He has to go through so many procedures to become a judge. But in Krishna consciousness, Krishna puts you in a position of a judge. And then he gives you the qualifications. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. In the material world, in order to achieve any status, you have to do education, studies, but in Krishna consciousness, you maintain your purity and you avoid offenses. And then you become like Krishna's postman. However Krishna wants you to he wants you to be in his plan, he will put you in that position. So you could say, in one sense, people are looking for adventure, you know, in the material world. They want to go into adventure, but you can see the material body is a bad bargain. It's temporary, it's full of ignorance, and it's full of misery. So to get adventure in this body is not much hope, and to misery. But the real adventure is to have this deep relationship with Krishna. And Krishna puts you in many different situations where you're helping him reclaim the fallen souls. So he says in Bhagavad Gita how 5:29 Prabhupada mentions, Bhaktanam tapasam sarva loka maheswaram suridam sarabhutanam gyatam sam samti richite. Krishna says, I am the Lord and Master of all planets and demigods. I am the center of all sacrifices and I am the best well-wisher of all living entities. So, when one takes to Krishna consciousness and one is willing to become a Krishna's spokesman, then, because Krishna's purpose of coming to the material world is to bring the fallen souls back to Godhead, that's his main purpose. That's why he displays his pastimes and activities. So, just by meditating on those pastimes and activities and instructions, the living entities can come back to him and become eternally happy. So for the devotee, because Krishna consciousness is a scientific process, if you maintain purity and you follow the process, then Krishna will make you an instrument in his plan, how to help others come towards him. There was one lecture I heard from the Chopati classes, and this one devotee, he had cancer. And his cancer was eating his body up, like cancer in the body. And he was humbly saying that, I'm not a great scholar, I'm not very learned, but I took to the process. And there was one person in some family where this Indian man, he made so many people devotees, but he himself wouldn't take to Krishna consciousness. So the devotee said that, I went to this man one time and I discussed with him just some simple understandings on how to take to Krishna consciousness. And I told him, you have all the senses in your body, but the most active sense is hearing. When you are asleep, If someone says fire and you'll wake up, you'll hear. They said, so in the same way, Krishna has given the holy name. The holy name will reawaken us to our true nature. So in this way, from this understanding, this man, he took to Krishna consciousness. He started chanting 16 rounds. So that shows how this process is very powerful. Okay, so in the Prabhupada speaks about the living entities merging to the creation. So in 8:19 Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives the answer to that. So in the Prabhupada he speaks about inquiring from Guru why the living entities merge in the body of the Lord again come back to the creation. So Srila Prabhupada gives an answer to the in his Prabhupada he says, the less intelligent who try to remain within this material world may be elevated to higher planets, then again must come down to this planet Earth. During the daytime of Brahma, they can exhibit their activities on higher and lower planets within this mature world. But at the coming of Brahma's night, they are annihilated. In the day, they receive various bodies for material activities. At night, they no longer have bodies but remain compact in the body of Vishnu. Then again, they are manifest at the arrival of Brahma's day. Bhutva bhupra palayate. During the day they become manifest, at night they are annihilated again. Ultimately, when Brahma's life is finished, they are all annihilated and remain unmanifest for millions and millions of years. And when Brahma is born again in another millennium, they are again manifest. In this way, they are captivated by the spell of the material world. But those intelligent persons who take to Krishna consciousness use the human life fully in the devotional service of the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They transfer themselves, even in this life, to the spiritual planet of Krishna and become eternally blissful, they're not being subjected to such rebirths. So we can see how Actually, Prabhupada Actually, for the living entity to try and remain, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives five levels of envy, showing how the living entity has nothing to do with the material world. Because he wants to try and be independent, this is what's causing him to suffer in the material world. But he lists five kinds of envy that we have to overcome to connect with Krishna. He says skepticism, not having faith in God. Number two, the belief that the Supreme Lord is nothing more than the natural potency of creation, which automatically brings about the result of one's karma. Number three, not believing in the transcendental form of the Lord. Number four, not accepting the position of the jiva as the eternal servant of God or servant of the Lord. Number five, the absence of mercy. This is in Jiva chapter 8. So, so we can see how the acharyas, they clearly define how the living entities, the material world is not their home. Even Prabhupada said, the material world is not a fit place for a gentleman. And Srila Bhakti Churuma is one of his quotes, he says, the material world is like a toilet. It doesn't matter how much you try and clean it, it gets dirty, you know. And there's sudden, because people are into their independent activities and karma and very binding, you know. They go against God's laws. Like we see how it gets to a point like in today's leaders, they're replacing God's laws for man-made laws. So we can see how much chaos is happening in the material world. They're trying to meddle with nature's laws. But for the devotees, they don't need to worry because Krishna directly protects them. And Prabhupada gives an example. He says, just like if you're a good citizen and you see the police is your friend. But if someone's a criminal, they see the police, they'll start running. So in the same way, in the material world, so many things may happen, which is difficulties may come in. But for the devotees, they don't need to worry because the difficulties are there for the non-devotees. Because they're creating the difficulties for themselves. And like Prabhupada said in his purport to 8.19, that the living entities, that they go to high and low planets, then they merge back into the body of Mahavishnu. Then when they're reborn again, when Brahma wakes up, then they restart their activities. For the intelligent devotees, they chant Hare Krishna and they go back to Godhead. So, taking to Krishna consciousness, the beginning is faith. So Prabhupada gives a good example of faith. He says, to do anything you have to have faith. Without faith you can't do anything. And Prabhupada gives a nice example. He's saying how if you go to the airport and you buy a ticket to go to India or America, you go to some you got faith that that ticket will get you on the plane. And you have faith that the pilot will look after you. That the although you know plane crashes do happen, but still you have the faith that the pilot will take you to your destination. So in the same way, for the devotees, the acharyas are perfect in their vision for us because they've sent by Krishna to guide us. So if you have faith in their teachings, then just time is separating from perfection. Prabhupada gives an example. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, success is guaranteed. The only thing they have to cultivate is patience. Because in Krishna consciousness, everything happens by Krishna's desire. Prabhupada said one time, I have my plan, you have your plan, and Krishna has his plan. So considering this thing about patience, Shivarama gives a nice point about how to gives a nice comment about nature's gurus. Says, if we are attentive, we can learn so much from the world. Look at the all-pervasive sky. It is everywhere. It teaches that the soul's consciousness pervades the entire body. And as the sky is everywhere, it is also in everything. Yet it remains unaffected. So our consciousness must be fixed in transcendence, unaffected by desires which may tempt the senses. Listen to the wind. It passes over so many impure things, yet it remains uncontaminated. The wind teaches that while we encounter so many undesirable situations in life, if we are grounded in our spiritual identity, we will never be shaken. Look at the moon. What is it teaching? It goes through phases, waxing moon, full moon, waning moon. What does that tell us? To me, it says that the body goes through many phases, growth, maturity, and then dwindling and old age. But just as the same moon repeatedly appears in phases, similarly, we again appear body after body, only to mature, grow old, and die. The moon teaches reincarnation. And what of fire? What does it teach us? Listen to the cracking flames. Fire consumes anything you feed it and teaches us how to burn up our karma by the power of transcendental knowledge and bhakti yoga. And what of other living creatures? What do they have to teach us? Whether in the city or in the countryside, whether it is warm or cold, the humble house sparrow continues to sing the same song. It teaches us tolerance and commitment to truth. Whatever challenges life throws at us, never compromise your values. And then there is the honeybee. It collects the very essence of the flower, pollen, and in time transforms that pollen into honey. The honeybee is a real guru, teaching us to search for the very essence of life, knowledge of the self. And when we have that knowledge, we must churn it to attain full self-realization. Nature is truly wonderful. There is also much to learn from this world around us, from mountains, waters, fish, and mammals. If we stop long enough to watch them, contemplate them, and hear what they have to say, we will recognize that they are our teachers in life. There is a lot of wisdom to be learned from the world. Just it requires little wisdom from us to stop long enough to hear what it has to say. Okay, so Prabhupada talks about infidels in the purport. And in 7:28 Bhagavad Gita, he gives some reference to that. Yes, on Tatakatam Papam, Jananam Janapurm Karmanam, De Danta Mukta, Pajantam Didavata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regular principles of religion, who have acted piously, who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. So, actually it says that even piety in itself cannot in itself give the strength for someone to achieve pure devotional service. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Yeah. It says piety in itself cannot in itself give one the strength to achieve pure devotional service. It says, by the mercy of a pure devotee who glances, then that gives strength, that gives faith to that person to take to Krishna consciousness. And the example of that is, you could say, like Sitaram Prabhu was doing his project in Leicester, right? This Ahimsa project. And there was a story about how one farmer was helping him with his project. And previously he had a cattle farm, but he was supporting Sitaram Prabhu in his project. And then his children started preaching about vegetarianism to him. And then he stopped his cattle farm and turned into a dairy farm. So you could say, on that own person's credit, he couldn't have done that. But the fact that he was helping spread Krishna consciousness in terms of supporting Sitaram Prabhu in his project, he got the piety or the strength to change his views. So, and there are many examples of that. Like, I think one time, because knowledge is compared to fire, so if you have proper knowledge, you can see things clearly. And one time, Ananta Shaktipur, he was preaching to one of the boys. They bring schools here, right? So he was preaching to one of the boys, a fifth canto about the hellish planets, about meat eating, what the consequences are if someone eats meat. So when that boy went back to his home, he told his mother the quotation what was given by Ananta Shaktipur. And he told his mother, I'm not going to eat meat anymore. So the mother complained to the temple here, saying, why are you teaching my kids this kind of thing? She complained like that. But it shows the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not just fairy tales, it's a reality. And it's got a lot of substance behind it. People are searching for this truth. They want to know the proper vision in life. So, as devotees, we have to be like spiritual doctors to help them to come to the proper vision of connecting to Krishna. So, Prabhupada speaks about the mental speculators also in his purport. So that's given in 7.19 Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, for those who are impersonalists, it'll take many births for them to understand Krishna. They will only understand Krishna once they come in touch with a pure devotee. With their own strength, it'll be, I think, Prabhupada commented one time in South Africa, there was one sannyasi in some temple, and Prabhupada said, this person was a sannyasi previous lives also. But unfortunately, unless he comes in touch with devotees, his path will not change. So that shows how the mercy of the devotees has to be there. And then an example of that, he says, just like even to live in the material world, you cannot do with your own strength. You have to have mercy from people around you. So even in spiritual life, to progress on the spiritual path, you have to have mercy from those who are practicing around you. So, how to come to that level of spiritual strength where you can progress to advanced platform? Prabhupada emphasizes that one has to come to the Madhyam Adhikari platform. One should not remain a Kanishtha Adhikari. The Kanishtha Adhikari can easily fall down. The Madhyam Adhikari, he has four ways how he sees things. He sees Krishna as the Supreme Lord. He makes friends with devotees. He avoids the envious and he shows mercy to the fallen souls or to the innocent. The Prabhupada emphasizes that one has to come to that platform, otherwise one can easily fall away in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada also comments about in the purport about mixed devotees, how it'll take a long time for them to come to the path. Maybe they have to take birth again to achieve the goal. So the thing is, why are they considered mixed? Because they're maintaining material desires. There's a pastime of Lord Chaitanya given in the Chaitanya Mangal, how there was one Brahmana in near the temple of Balaji in South India. And his Brahmana, he was from a poor family. So the family disowned him for some reason. So he had a desire to go to Jagannath Puri. So he got to Jagannath Puri and he took darshan of Lord Jagannath and he prayed to Lord Jagannath, please give me some opulence. But every day this Brahmana was seeing Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was on the planet at that time. But he could not recognize Lord Chaitanya. So he made a vow. He said, within 7 days, if I don't get to see Lord Jagannath, because I think Lord Jagannath was sleeping at that time, so he couldn't get to see Lord Jagannath. But anyway, he took a vow that if I don't get to see Lord Jagannath within 7 days, I'm going to enter the ocean and give up my life. So on the seventh day, as he was going to the ocean, he's praying to the ocean, please give me a place so I can enter. So he saw some personality come out of the ocean, and this was Vibhishan. Vibhishan is Raman's brother. He's in charge of Lanka or one Tara. So Vibhishan came out, and this Brahmana thought he must be Jagannath. So he went. He came out big from the ocean. He came like a human on the ocean shore. So the Brahmana started following, and he told Vibhishan, "You must be Jagannath." And he said, "No, leave me." In India, the thing is, when people want to harass you, or they want to take blessings, you know, from sadhus. So Vibhishan said he didn't want to have an interaction with him. But the Brahmana was very straightforward. He said, I've taken a vow to enter the ocean if I don't get to see Lord Jagannath. So Vibhishan said, okay, follow me. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was in the Gambira with his devotees. And devotees could see Lord Chaitanya wasn't happy. The Lord Chaitanya told Govinda that two Brahmanas are going to come towards me. You allow them in. So one is going to come to right near me, another one will be at a distance. So Vibhishan went towards Lord Chaitanya and they spoke, and Lord Chaitanya told him that the Brahmana, you're his good fortune. You look after him. So as they were leaving, the Brahmana asked Vibhishan, who was that? And Vibhishan said, that was Lord Jagannath. Actually, Vibhishana, this is Lord Chaitanya, it's not from Lord Jagannath. Because initially the Brahmana asked, I thought you were going to take me to Lord Jagannath, why you want me to this place? Vibhishana explained, actually this is Lord Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya, he's come as a devotee. So then the Brahmana asked Vibhishana, take me back to Lord Chaitanya. So the Brahmana went back to Lord Chaitanya and told Lord Chaitanya, I've taken many births and I've suffered so much, I just want to take shelter of you. So Lord Chaitanya told that Brahmana, to Lord Jagannath you prayed you want opulence. So I'm putting you on the care of Vibhishan. He will look after you. In your next life you'll come back to me. So this pastime shows that if you maintain mutual attachment, it'll take a long time to achieve your goal. It won't be in this lifetime. Any comments or questions? Okay, Antaranga Prabhu.
Thank you for the class, Srinivas Prabhu. I just would like to clarify that in the purport, Prabhupada says the progressive devotee of the Lord must inquire from bona fide spiritual master how living entities merge in the body. So my question is, as a neophyte or as a new devotee, how can we select which are the important questions to ask the spiritual master? Because many times we're coming from a sentimental platform and we just want to clarify our emotions, our feelings, this and that. We can see here how Pariksit Maharaj, he really went for the really hard, high quality questions. So, as a new devotee, how can we find the really important and really significant questions in our spiritual life?
The thing is, Pariksit Maharaj was a deep thinker, you know. Now, to get deep thinkers is not so easy. That's rare. So, but Prabhupada does comment in chapter 10, text 10, Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, if you read, he says that even if someone's not that intelligent, he doesn't know how to progress, but if he's sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will make arrangement for him to come back to him. Now, Prabhupada has given everything in his books, so we just read the books. And we have faith in the process. And then Krishna will give us intelligence what to do. It's simple. In other words, you have to practice mode of goodness, then you'll see things clearly. Without mode of goodness, it'll take a long time. And seeing through the eyes of scriptures, then we see things more clearly. And just serving advanced devotees, maintaining a proper service attitude. And Krishna will give you the intelligence how to progress. And he'll send the proper devotees to guide us on the path. Because once you take initiation, you're linked to the parampara. And even he says, even if someone's not initiated, if they're sincerely practicing, Krishna will give them the guidance how to come towards them. Like there's an example of your Guru Maharaj, Kalyana Kanan Maharaj. There was a story how there was one lady, she was trying to change her family into devotees. She was a Western lady. She was coming every day to Radhadesh to offer things to the deities. And your Guru Maharaj observed her. She was coming for a long time. And Kanama Kanama has told the authorities, if you want, I can try and help her. And they supported it. Yeah, okay. So Kanama Kanama has told that lady that If you're ready to follow the four principles and chant 16 rounds, I will help you. So she started doing that. And Maharaj went to, with 1 year later, he came back. And he was playing harmonium in front of her. And this lady, she said, actually, all this time I was trying to help my family, but they were too, I couldn't really help them. But I can understand this Krishna consciousness is a real thing. And she smiled and left her body. So that shows. Krishna wants your love. He wants your love. And this lady tried all her life, you know. She was serving the deities, giving donations. And Maharaj saw that sincerity in her, that she wanted to go forward, but something was coming in the way. And Krishna arranged Maharaj to come, Kanama Kanamas. He gave her instruction. And then by Maharaj's mercy, she went back to Godhead. Is that? Adin.
Hi, Haribo. My question is, what is the cause and the consequence of envy? The things that you've just mentioned, the five categories of envy. I mean, they're all kind of different, but and also, what is the opposite of that? What is the good behavior that's connected? I mean,
actually, Jeva Dharma is explained that the opposite of envy is love for Krishna.
That's kind of obvious.
That's the opposite. Envy means that you're not happy to see others go for. You want something. You're not happy to. How do you say? Others have progressing. You feel that. How come I'm not above them or something? You're not happy that they got something you don't have. That's envy. But if you're happy that others are progressing in spiritual life, and that's, then you get Krishna's mercy, because ultimately Krishna's put them in that position because they deserve it. Because there's a saying, first deserve, then desire. Like Prabhupada says, many people want to be millionaires, but they don't deserve it. So it's like that. So you have to be happy, whatever position the person's in. Krishna's put them in that position. Because if you envy them, you're envying Krishna. Because Krishna actually arranged them to put them in that position. So you have to be happy that they're in that position by Krishna's mercy. And if you're happy like that, then you get Krishna's mercy. That's how it is.
How about if you're Mayavadi? Like, it says being an impersonalist is also a type of envy, and also having no mercy is also a type of envy.
See, the thing is, this is all due to lack of knowledge. Mayavadis, they offend us to Krishna. I'll give you an example. Like, if they had proper knowledge on what their destination is going to be in next life, many of them would not be Mayavadis. For example, there was one person here. He was cutting the trees at some point in time. He had a business, and they were trying to get him to do 16 rounds. He's doing 8 rounds. He had a girlfriend who was like an impersonalist. See, like Mayavadis. So I quoted Chaitanya Charitamrita from him, telling him what the destiny of the Mayavadis are. This is Lord Chaitanya asking Ramananda, what's the destiny of the Mayavadis? And Ramananda said, their next destination will become trees. So I told this devotee, I told him, are you happy to become a tree with your girlfriend in the next life? And after that, he left his girlfriend. He didn't want to do anything with his girlfriend.
Yeah. So like that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
You can give it to her.
You surely have the funniest story, Shri Vastavu. I thought it was a nice point you said about just loving Krishna. That Prabhu said about asking the right questions. If I'm correct, is it when you're talking about the mode of goodness and you're a devotee, how important is it that you get answers to all your questions immediately? Because I've lived a devotee life and there are many questions I have, but I don't have answers to them. So is it a case that we live in such a way that we have to accept that we're not going to have answers to everything in order to continue and progress? Is that what you mean by mode of goodness?
Well, the thing is, mode of goodness means that you see things more clearly in the world. Like Prabhupada said, I have my plan, you have your plan, and Krishna has his plan. So we have to have faith in Krishna, you know. Like, if answers not come to us immediately, we may have our plans to do something. And if it doesn't work out, we have to pray to the deities. And Krishna knows what's good for us. Like, I heard a story, there was one devotee, I think he's a doctor, and one devotee, Radha Goindpur, was saying how he prayed to Krishna to become very rich. He wanted to become very rich. So this was in Prabhupada's time. He came to Prabhupada. He told Prabhupada, I want to become very rich. So Prabhupada said, go and pray to the deities. So he lay down for 20 minutes in front of the deities. Now he's one of the richest persons in England. He's worth $25 billion or something. He's worth a lot of money anyway. So that shows Krishna knows what's good for him. He just prayed like that. So you have to reveal your mind to Krishna. He knows best for you. Then Krishna will make arrangement for the answers to come to you, what's good for you. Shiva Ramaraj said that in one of his classes on Radhasmi. He said, if you just have your faith in Krishna, your faith becomes strong in Krishna, then everything gets revealed to you, what you need to know. Because, you know, the material world is very complicated. It's like the material world is a place of enemies, you know. Everyone's trying to pull you down. And if you want to progress on the spiritual path, it's like a razor's edge, so Krishna knows how to guide you. You have to have faith in Krishna. He's looking after you. Because the material world is so complicated. You look at the present situation of the world which we're going in now. It's not very, very, it's not going progressively in a nice way. Things are going to go downhill very badly at some point. So, Shiva Ramaraj said in one of his lectures, I went to his Vyas Puja many years back, he said, this is a time where you have to chant Hare Krishna more now. And even Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj said, I asked him sometimes when he was here, I said, what's your understanding of chanting Hare Krishna? He said, when you chant Hare Krishna, you're just waiting to go back to Godhead. When you leave your body, you go back to Godhead. Krishna is very merciful like that. If you chant his holy name, he is ready to take you back to Godhead. That's it.
Thank you, Shri Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prayojan.
There's one thing. It's not only that. I can remember when I first heard the Hare Krishna record, and I thought, this is really good, you know. It's fantastic. A wonderful sound. And I can remember that actually, looking back, that was the seed. That was at a pop festival, you know, with people, druggies, you know, and people like myself, lusty people, you know. But this sound, just hearing that sound and liking it, I felt was a seed that, and this is why Hare Nam is so important. You know, those Hare Krishnas, even in hostility, some people get all irritated, but they say Hare Krishna. And it's a wonderful thing, just by hearing the Hare Krishnas, either in negative way or in a positive way, like I was just attracted by it, you know, and the name Krishna attracted me too, you know. So it's just a very powerful influence, subtle and inconceivable. It's all mercy, Lord Chaitanya, and he brought it to us. So one way or other, you can be trapped, either positively or negatively, seemingly. But as you say, these envious people, it says in the Bhagavatam, those who are envious and mischievous, they can't come to me, because they're critical. They see they can't see a positive side, and so we have to be very careful if we criticize people, that actually, if whatever you see you're criticizing is what you've got as well, because you recognize it. You know. Okay, so that's it.
Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.